So let's read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You'll notice, as we said the last day, that is in italics. That third word of Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is in italics. The King James translators put it in italics to let us know that they had inserted it into the text. Is not in the original Psalm 23. But the reason why the King James translators put it in was to make it readable for English speaking readers. But we could as easily say, the Lord my shepherd, I shall not want. We could leave out is, the Lord my shepherd. So right at the beginning of Psalm 23, there's this great name, Jehovah Roy, the Lord my shepherd. Psalm 23 begins with a great name. Let's read on, verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now turn over with me to John chapter 10. Turn to the New Testament and to the Gospel of John and the 10th chapter. John chapter 10. And we're going to read some verses from the chapter. Let's begin to read at verse 9 of the chapter. John chapter 10 and verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. We'll end there at verse 13. And with our Bibles open, and turning back to Psalm 23, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer, please. Our gracious God, we pray that the word of God will indeed come with freshness to us this day. We pray that the word of God that we have read, that it, Lord, would come to us today with power. And we pray that the word of God will have a deep impact upon our lives today. We thank thee for the power that is in the word of God. We thank thee that it is a living book from the living God. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless thy people today, those who already know the shepherd. But we pray that if there are any who do not know the shepherd, we pray, Lord, that even through the word of God today, that they would come to know him whom to know is life eternal. So answer prayer, we pray, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Verse 4 of Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The valley of the shadow of death. Did you know that there is a real place called the valley of the shadow of death? If you were to go to the land of Israel today, and if you were to travel from Jerusalem to Jericho, you would pass through the valley of the shadow of death. Whenever you're traveling on that road, You come to a dark valley. Now, to get to your destination, either to Jerusalem or to Jericho, you must pass through this dark valley. There are hills, mountains on either side. But to get to your destination, you've got to go through the valley of the shadow of death. Priests would have often traveled that road. You see, the Levite priests lived in Jericho, and to get to the temple at Jerusalem to minister unto the Lord, they had to travel the road from Jericho to Jerusalem. And so the priests of Israel, the ancient priests, would have known all about the valley of the shadow of death. So please remember that very often God's word talks about places that are real places. They are in our world even today. And if you have been to Israel, maybe you've even been to the valley of the shadow of death. And if you do get the opportunity to go to Israel, make sure you go. It's well worth going. And if you go, and if you get the opportunity to go, well, you'll hopefully have the opportunity to visit this valley of the shadow of death. And so this was what no doubt put it into the mind of David. God's Spirit put it into the mind of David about this real place, the valley of the shadow of death. This was a place that perhaps David had often travelled through, and even perhaps as he was a shepherd out on the hills following the sheep, perhaps David had even gone through the valley of the shadow of death. You'll remember that the last day we looked at what David said about the shepherd. You see, this psalm really divides into two parts. You have those verses that show David speaking about the shepherd. And it's just as if David is talking to one of his friends about the Lord, his shepherd, Jehovah Roy. And David is boasting about the Lord, as it were. And he's boasting about the Lord to us. And it's good to boast about the Lord. Now, boasting isn't always good because, you know, people boast about themselves and maybe boast about their families and boast about other things. But David was boasting about the Lord, and it's always good to boast about the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what Paul said, Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross for Lord Jesus Christ. Paul boasted in the cross of Christ. And this is what David's doing. He's boasting in the Lord. But that was the last day 2 weeks ago, and we considered that. We considered David speaking about the shepherd, and we thought about the shepherd's thoughtfulness and the shepherd's tenderness. And that's the way it is for those of us who are saved, those of us who know Jehovah Roy, the Lord my shepherd, those of us who have a personal relationship with him through the redeeming blood of Christ. He is our shepherd, and we can count on it that he will be thoughtful toward us and tender toward us. Oh, I know that other people are not always thoughtful and tender toward us. But here's someone who's always thoughtful and tender. The Lord, my shepherd. Today, we're not thinking about David speaking about the shepherd. We're coming to David speaking to the shepherd. You know, this is like a prayer from verses 4 on, verses 4 and 5. Particularly, David speaks to the shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He's talking to the shepherd, thou. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David's praising the shepherd. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Thou. David's praising Jehovah Roy. This is a prayer. Tell me this. I wonder, when we pray, do we praise? Do we just come into the Lord's presence and worship Him, thank Him, extol Him? Don't even ask for one thing. Some people think that prayer is asking for things. But, oh, let's see the other side of prayer. There is the worship side to prayer. There is the praise. There is the thanksgiving. There is the adoration. And you know, there's nothing that glorifies the Lord more than His people simply coming in prayer to Him and adoring Him. Lord, how great Thou art. How wonderful Thou art. You're my shepherd. You're Jehovah Roy. You're the one who is thoughtful to me and you're tender toward me. And Lord, you care for me when I'm going through the valleys. And Lord, you prepare a table for me. You prepare a banquet each day. Lord, you care for me and you anoint my head with oil. And you come to me when I've fallen. And you apply that ointment that I have inflicted, or that ointment upon the injury that I've inflicted upon myself through my foolishness and my waywardness. Lord, you're my shepherd. Thank you. How wonderful you are. That's what the Lord likes to hear. And I pray that the Lord will help us always to be that kind of people, those who praise Him. Well, let's come today and let's think about David speaking to his shepherd. And I want us to think about protection first of all, because David extols the protection of his shepherd. You'll notice what he says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." David speaks about the valley of the shadow of death. Ah, yes, he's going through the valley of the shadow of death, spiritually speaking. And you know, David often went through the valley. There were many valleys for David to go through. And there are many valleys for us as the Lord's people to go through. But David knows the protection of the shepherd while he's going through the valley. I want you to pay attention to one particular word. Rod. Rod. Thy rod. And thy staff, they comfort me. He speaks about the rod of the shepherd. And that's where the protection comes in. Why did the shepherd carry the rod? Shepherds carried the rod to protect the sheep from wild animals, from wild beasts, from the lions, the bears, the jackals, all the wild animals who would try to hurt the sheep. And the shepherd, whenever he would see the animal coming to attack the sheep, the shepherd would have his rod at the ready and he would go forth to meet the animal, the wild beast, with the rod. And if need be, he would lay into the wild beast with the rod. Oh, surely that's a lovely picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, our shepherd. When the wild beasts of slander and pride and division and backbiting, when other wild beasts seek to come and to harm us, when persecution comes from the world and even from those who profess Christ, oh, the shepherd's there to protect us. The rod goes out immediately. He is our protector. Thy rod comforts me. You see, the sheep knew that the shepherd had the rod, and the sheep could see the shepherd using the rod to protect them, and the rod of the shepherd brought comfort. We have an enemy. As the people of God, the enemy opposes us and he seeks to hurt us and to hinder us and to make life difficult for us. We have the enemy to face. As soon as we are saved, we begin to realize that there is an enemy. There is an adversary. But thank God for the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who protects us with his rod. John chapter 10 and verse 11 speaks of the protection of the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You see, out in Israel, there would have been shepherds who sometimes would have sacrificed their lives to protect their sheep, to protect their flock. And maybe whenever a lion or a bear or a jackal or some other wild animal, a snake, would have come to attack the flock, the shepherd would have been injured and fatally injured and would have died as a result of trying to protect his flock. Well, you know, the Lord Jesus, the good shepherd, died protecting his flock. He gave his life for the good of his flock. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. The hireling, that's a word that we don't really use much today, but it simply means someone who was hired out, rented or paid to look after the sheep. But this is someone who doesn't care for the sheep. All they care about is the money. They're not concerned if the sheep get injured or if the sheep die. That's none of their concern. All they're concerned about is the money, their hire. And by the way, this speaks about ministers too. Oh yes, this speaks first and foremost about the Lord Jesus Christ, but it also has a lesson for those who are pastors, those who are ministers of the gospel. Some ministers don't care about the sheep, and because of that, they don't particularly care about what they preach on the Lord's Day. And they don't care to warn the sheep about the dangers that are all around. They don't care to teach the sheep. They don't particularly care for the congregation. But faithful ministers are those who care about the congregation, those who have a concern for the work of God. And they will make sacrifices for it. And they will become unpopular for the good of the work of the Lord, even when people will criticize them and ridicule them and talk behind their backs. Yet the minister, the faithful minister, is still faithful to his calling. He's faithful to the sheep. He realizes that God has given him a sheep to care for. God has entrusted people, souls, to be cared for. The flock has been entrusted to the pastor. And there is a responsibility with the pastor of any congregation to protect the sheep. And by the way, that's one of the reasons why we're having the petition out in the hallway. That's one of the reasons why we're having this online petition against the Halloween carnival. Because these are things today that appear so innocent. And even families are being encouraged to get involved. And God forbid that someone from this congregation, some family connected with the Sunday school or the Lifeliners or the youth work, God forbid that some family should get involved with the Banks of the Foyle carnival. Oh, what a terrible effect it has on families. Even to go along to that festival, that parade that seems so innocent, and people say, oh well, if Derry City Council supported, surely it must be okay, it must be all right. How deceptive. Well, let Derry City Council support it, but it's a wicked, evil thing. And that's why I must protect you from such a thing. And if something else comes up, well, then the Lord says, Jonathan, start protecting. You're the pastor. You're the shepherd of the flock. Your responsibility is to protect. Oh, thank God for faithful pastors, faithful ministers who do protect the flock. But oh, thank God for the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus, Jehovah Roy, the one who protects his sheep, the great shepherd of the sheep who looks after his flock. So David speaks first of all about the protection of the shepherd. You notice that he speaks also about the preservation of the shepherd. The preservation. You see, David talks about the staff. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What was the staff for? The staff was used for the preservation of the sheep. I'm sure you all know what a shepherd's staff looks like, or we sometimes call it a crook, a shepherd's crook. You notice that you'll know, of course, that most of it is just a straight rod, but at one end of the rod there is a curve, there is a hook, there is a crook. And what's the reason for that crook? That crook preserves the sheep. You see, that crook, that staff lifts the sheep. Whenever the sheep fall into crevices and into holes and they cannot get out, and yes, through their own stupidity, through their own foolishness, because after all, we all know that sheep aren't the most intelligent of animals. But then, neither are the Lord's sheep. And you know, there are times whenever the shepherd has to come along to the sheep who have fallen down, and he gets the staff or the crook, and he gets that curved end and he places it in under the little sheep and he lifts it up out of the hole. That's what the staff is for. It's for preservation. The sheep can't get out of the hole. The sheep has fallen down and it's helpless. But along comes the shepherd. You know, the shepherd has to come to his spiritual sheep. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ has to come to those of us who are saved. Isn't that right? And he has to get his crook and lift us up and lift us out of the holes that we get into through our waywardness and our foolishness and our carelessness. Oh, the Lord Jesus, Jehovah Roy, knows that we are careless and foolish, but yet he's our shepherd. And he lifts us up. Isn't he wonderful? What did the hymn writer say? Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Psalm 119 and verse 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Preservation. Oh, but he refers to the oil, of course. Verse 5 refers to the oil. And again, this is speaking about preservation. And this word really means ointment. Whenever it reads oil, whenever you read oil in verse 5, that word really means ointment. And you see, there are times whenever the sheep injures itself and hurts itself and wounds itself. Maybe the sheep comes up against barbed wire, or the sheep is attacked by the animals and it survives and there's a wound there, and the shepherd needs to come with his ointment to bring healing. And you know, the shepherd, he looks for the injured sheep and he comes and he gets his ointment and he rubs the ointment on the injured part of the little sheep's body, and that ointment brings healing. How often does the Lord Jesus Christ have to place the ointment upon his sheep? Whenever we have been hurt through our own foolishness, or maybe not through our own foolishness. But thank God he comes with the oil or the ointment and he heals our wounds. He healeth me. He healeth me. Oh, blessed truth, he healeth me. Of course, the oil was used to ward off irritating flies. You see, those of you who work with flies, well, maybe not so much in this land, but if you were to be a sheep farmer out in Israel or other hot countries, you would know the danger that flies can present to the sheep. And there are certain times in the year whenever irritating flies will come and will land on the sheep and will even go up the noses of the sheep and will lay eggs in the noses of the sheep, and those flies will irritate the life out of the sheep. Sometimes the Lord's sheep get irritated too, isn't that right? I get irritated at times. And you who are saved, there are times when you get irritated, isn't that right? The flies of the devil irritate us. But the Lord is there, the shepherd is there with his oil, with his ointment. And you know what the shepherd used to do? Shepherds out in the land of Israel, and they maybe still do it today, they would come before the flies even arrive and would apply the ointment to the sheep. So that before the flies even arrive, the sheep are given this form of preservation. And when the flies come, yes, there's a certain amount of minor irritation, but it's nothing major. If the oil, the ointment isn't applied, those flies can even cause the death of sheep. Thank God for the ointment that the Lord Jesus Christ brings to his sheep. Whenever we feel that we're at the end of our tether, maybe through physical illness, or perhaps through spiritual attacks, and we feel that we can cope with no more, Jehovah Roy comes and he applies the ointment, the oil. Now, you're my sheep. Here's the oil, here's the ointment. Don't you fret. Oh, the protection of the shepherd, the preservation of the shepherd. And what about the presence of the shepherd? You see, this is the most famous part of Psalm 23, perhaps. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. The presence of Jehovah Roy, the presence of the Lord, my shepherd. And you know, dear friends, when we're going through the valleys, the Lord is with us. And when we come out of the valleys, the Lord is with us. And when we're about to go back into the valleys, the Lord is with us. He's with us at all times, you know. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me continuously, all the time. Did you get that? All the time? All the time. Of course, shepherds who looked after the sheep back in Bible times, they were always with the sheep. You see, they lived with the sheep. Maybe you have the idea of a shepherd going out and feeding sheep for an hour or two and then coming back home again, and he leaves the sheep and he goes to his own house and his own bed at night time. That's not the case. The shepherd stayed with the sheep. The shepherd slept with the sheep at night time out under the stars. There was the sheep. Oh, but there was the shepherd. Day after day, the shepherd was with the sheep all the time, round the clock. Jesus is with us round the clock. Our shepherd is with us round the clock. During those lonely hours of darkness, he's with us. When our heart aches, when our heart breaks, he's with us. That is those who are saved. Those who are his sheep. He's always with us. He's with us through the valleys. Deuteronomy 11, verse 11, the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys. Never forget, child of God, that your experience down here on earth will be up and down. Well, some people talk and say, oh, Christians shouldn't have ups and downs. You shouldn't be up and down if you're saved. That's nonsense. You will have ups and downs. The land whither you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys. Oh, the Christian life has its ups and downs. We need to expect it. Some people, even some preachers, have foolishly preached down through the years that if we're Christians, we just stay on the same plane, the same level all the time, and we go swimmingly off to heaven. Plain sailing, a bed of roses. That's not what my Bible teaches me. My Bible teaches me that there are ups and downs. There are hills and valleys for me to go through. But the Lord is with us on the hills, and the Lord is with us down in the valleys. Thank the Lord for the presence of the shepherd. And by the way, did you notice that it says through the valley? Yea, though I walk through the valley. We go into the valleys, but we get out of them. We go through them. We don't die in the valleys. We don't come to an end in the valleys. The Lord doesn't abandon us in the valleys. The Lord is with us, and he walks through the valleys with us, and he brings us out the other side. Of course, the greatest valley that we'll go through is the valley of death. Unless the Savior comes before it, every one of us must go through the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death. We must all needs die. But I tell you, whenever the Lord's sheep come to go through that greatest of all valleys, the Lord will be with them. Jehovah Roy is with them. Oh, he will give you dying grace. He will give me dying grace. One night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times of his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me. The Lord replied, my precious, precious child, I love you, and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Child of God, maybe you're going through a valley today. Maybe I know about it, maybe I know nothing about it. But I can assure you of one thing, Jehovah Roy will carry you through. The Lord, who is your shepherd, will carry you through. What did the hymn writer say? Look ever to Jesus. He will carry you through. But what if you're not saved today? What if you're not one of the Lord's sheep today? This is your version of Psalm 23. The Lord is not my shepherd. I stand in great need. I have no pastures of tender grass. I walk by troubled waters. My soul has no contact with God. No one leads me. When I walk through the valley of death, I tremble, for I am alone. There is nothing on my table. My cup is empty. I am cut off from goodness and mercy, and I will eternally dwell separated from God. That need not be your dying psalm. That need not be your psalm as you go out into eternity. You can have the proper version of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, come to Christ today. Make him your shepherd.